Welcome to Tarot for the Wild Soul, a podcast that explores the tarot through an inclusive, soul-centered, trauma-informed perspective for growth, healing, and evolution. I'm your host, Lindsay Mack. Hello, Wild Souls, and welcome back to Tarot for the Wild Soul podcast. What a joy to be gathered with you all again, as always. Thank you so much for being here with me. I feel like the last time I recorded a podcast, I was sick, and I'm sick again. This is just part of the flow of having a toddler and part of the privilege of getting out in the world, I suppose. Sick again. Sorry for the vocal quality. It is what it is. Happy Imbolc. Happy Lunasad to those of you who observe. This is a nice big episode. The monthly medicine for this month felt like, personally really happy to hear it. And also always curious as to how it'll actually feel, to be in the energy of it, but, so welcome. I'm excited to talk about it. I have a lot of announcements to make. There's so much to get to. I'm going to talk about some, housekeeping things. As the title of this episode suggests, a new version of my level one Soul Tarot Theory course, Rewilding the Tarot, is opening for enrollment in 2 weeks. So, and scholarship applications are going to open in 3 days. So here's what you need to know about it, if you want to know about it. So again, Rewilding the Tarot is my level one Soul Tarot training and education course. It's what Tarot for the Wild Soul course used to be. And then things got flipped around. So if you were always interested in Tarot for the Wild Soul course, wanted to work with me in that way, wanted to deepen your education, Rewilding the Tarot would be what you are looking for. Rewilding the Tarot used to be evergreen and open all the time. It got closed for enrollment in December, and we've been tinkering with it in the back end. There's a new structure for it. So it used to be like kind of, because it was evergreen, like three sections. Now it's broken up into 8 modules. Flows so much better, I think. Super in-depth course. Super in-depth. I think still digestible, but like definitely if you want to know how to read tarot, understand tarot, use tarot, this is for you. It's great. There's some changes to the material. There are additional videos. There's more like how to read tarot practice videos from me. There's new intros for every week. There's a couple new video modules, quite a bit, actually, quite a bit of new content sprinkled in there. And this year, the structuring and the the doing of the course is different. So it used to be an evergreen course. Now folks will have the option. This course only opens once a year, and folks will have the option of doing a self-guided version of it, which is a lower investment point. And they will also have an option of doing it live and guided with me. So if you want to, you will have the option of doing the new Rewilding the Tarot course, which is 8 weeks long, and you'll get to have 7 live coaching Q&A calls with me every week. So I'm really excited. I've missed teaching people live, and I've been teaching live since October with courses and workshops, and it's been a dream. It's just been so nice. So I'm really, really excited about it. Tarot for the Wild Soul is the number one place, the only place to learn tarot as I teach it with me from kind of a foundational standpoint. It's extremely in-depth, very beautifully done. So if you're looking for sort of a more comprehensive education, and, you know, it's got beautiful immersive video and audio lessons, live calls, beautiful workbooks, access to a really, really epic Q&A database. This course is really, one, committed to helping to make you the strongest reader you can possibly be, whether you're a brand new reader or whether you're a seasoned reader who's seeking to go deeper or you're attracted to the style of reading. And it's dedicated to shattering the concept of right, wrong, or good or bad with our decks. And it's here to invite folks who are interested in taking it into a liberation from traditional fear-based card interpretations. So if you'd like to be supported and coming home to your own wise knowing around the tarot, I'd love to support you in that. So a couple quickies and some important dates to keep in mind. If you're an alumni of the course, we have a special offer coming out for you in a couple of days if you want to take part in this new version. There are scholarships for Rewilding the Tarot. So there's full and partial, full scholarship or 50% off of the full price tuition for the live and guided version. And applications for at-need folks who would like a scholarship, full or partial, will be open from this coming Monday, February 5th, to Friday the 9th. And folks will hear on Monday the 12th, either way, no matter what. We're going to have an early bird and bundle sale for folks that is profoundly discounted, a huge discount. So if you're feeling like you don't quite need the scholarship, but would like to take part in a discount, like that's there for you. And that will be happening from Tuesday, February 13th to February 20th. And then enrollment closes on February 23rd and the course starts on February 26th. So it's quick. It is. It's really quick. So yeah, very excited to share that. Excited to serve and support anyone who feels called to it. And I do still have another additional giant announcement that I cannot share yet. But when I'm able to, I will be so excited to share it with everybody. Just know, like, the giant announcement isn't this, but, you know, I'm excited to share it with everyone when I can and when it's time. Oh, okay. So yeah, today is in the Northern Hemisphere in bulk, in the Southern Hemisphere Lunisod. I always feel into the cross quarters, the equinoxes, the solstice from an energetic standpoint. There's so many other folks who are so much more knowledgeable about the actual origins and roots of these days and how they were celebrated by the folks who celebrated them, you know, originally. Energetically speaking, the cross quarters are very powerful and very impactful thresholds because they offer us these gentle mile markers from a seasonal perspective, right? And bulk comes right at the middle of winter. You know, each of the cross quarters represents the peak point of whatever season we're in. So in bulk is that beautiful peak and that beautiful climax point of winter, right in the middle of our winter solstice and our spring equinox, which will come in late March. There's so much, especially with in bulk, there's so much beautiful folklore that I encourage you to look into related to this. There's so much medicine related to Brigid. This is Brigid's day. And there's so much in terms of the traditional rituals and ceremony and practices that were utilized by folks as a part of the Celtic diaspora on this day, scrying and lustration and divination and working with holy wells. It's a lot of magical fun. Because I do think that part of what we're touching into in bulk is believing in the invisible and trusting that a good harvest year will come from this time. Right? So in bulk, because we're working with the middle point of winter, depending on where we live in the Northern Hemisphere, there isn't all that much evidence of spring right now. So it can be hard, even though we know logically spring, summer, fall will come, another winter will come. Imbolc is a powerful reminder that even though we can't see evidence of spring, it is on its way to us. And I think that this links itself and drops itself into, I think that's why there's such a strong emphasis on psychic exploration in this cross quarter, because it has to do with trusting in that inner knowing and honoring the part of us that is working through like the deeper part of winter and being like, okay, like when is this gonna end? Like, when will this end? And so I think touching base and touching into the heart of Imbolc can be incredibly powerful, especially if we're going through something like this in our own lives, especially if we're going through a midwinter in our own lives. That's like, I don't know if I'm ever going to feel the same again, if I'm ever going to be happy again. I don't know if this feeling will ever pass. I don't know if this hardship will ever shift. And the truth is that nothing is permanent. Even something very intense has its own ebbs and flows. It's not a romanticizing of it. It's an acknowledgement of it. Even inside of a very difficult situation, there are still better days. There are brighter days. There are good days. And there are really, really tough days, right? The fact that this is on a polarity and on like a cross axis with Lunisod, which usually we in the Northern Hemisphere experience on August 1st, I think is an even greater emphasis to this point. Like Lunisod is peak summer, and folks in the Southern Hemisphere are moving through their Lunisod today. What a comfort. The earth can hold everything, can hold any combination of any both and, right? Here we are in deep midwinter, and the earth on the other side of it is holding luscious, ripe, gorgeous midsummer, late harvest, right? Like Lunisod is when all like the good shit, this is like corn, tomato, peach vibes, right? Like beautiful, right? And honors this, takes us all the way to Samhain. You know, Samhain is the next cross quarter after Lunisod, and that's really when the harvest season ends, right? So, I mean, there's still things to harvest after that, but they're not quite as abundant and lush as they are in late summer and fall. It's a beautiful time and lets us know that, you know, what I like to remember and tap into is like for every, you know, deep, deep, difficult midwinter experience, when there's really no earthly evidence that things will change and get better, that spring will come, I remember that on the other side of this is a Lunisod, you know, that the corn will burst forth, that the tomatoes will ripen, that, you know, the cosmos will bloom. Like there will be light and heat and blossoming again. And I think it's healthy and humbling to hold the opposite, that with every gorgeous, lush, like midsummer blossoming, like we are in this experience of living in these very finite human bodies that will eventually drop and leave behind. And there are shifts to every season. So can we be present with what is to the best of our ability, knowing that no matter what, there's change that's coming and that's present. So that's certainly what I'm reflecting on and what I love to reflect on, especially with this cross quarter. And speaking of sort of midwinter trust and like longing for spring, if it again flows quite nicely into our monthly medicine, our theme for February. The theme for February is warming. But the theme that it really wanted to be was quicken or quickening. I just couldn't have February be Quicken, because Quicken is like a bookkeeping software primarily. And I feel like that's so associated with that, that I felt like sometimes I'll do that and I'll be like, can you give me an adjective for the word you'd like me to use? But it's warming was a close second, because it's the same idea. Like February energetically is bringing about a warming and a quickening. Like things are heating up and moving. They're starting to move. It's interesting because January, we're in an 8-year. 2024 is an 8-year, something I'll talk about ad nauseum the whole fucking year and probably into next year as I reflect on us being in a 9-year. 2024 is an 8-year, and 8 years are unique. They're special in that they speak to and really work inside of the realm of change with a capital C. Not just change that we experience maybe personally or internally, but external change, like shit changing. Like altering. These are big years. And of course, big things happen outside of 8 years, you know? But 8 years are really where like big external changes, where we might look back. We were in an 8-year 9 years ago, 2015 personally for me is when I left my day working job and moved into this work full time. 9 years before that was a very important year as well. And so like there's some pretty amazing stuff when we start to really reflect on like, wow, where was I 9 years ago and 9 years ago and 9 years ago and what altered for me and how is there a pattern there? So it's almost like inside of this 8-year that is really about transformation and evolving and moving from where we've been to where we're going. Like, right. And we've also been doing the internal work to prepare for these big changes for years before this. So the groundwork is definitely set. It's almost like January was a little bit of a soft entry point into this year. This has been a pretty intense January for me personally, but a different kind of intense. In fact, I think a lot of folks that I know and that I've been talking to, their Januaries were very intense, you know, but meaning I don't know a lot of people who really felt like they like hit the ground running into the new year. Felt like a lot of people were like, oh, I'm still very much in process here. I'm not like moving and grooving into the new year at all. February feels like to me more of what we might consider the traditional like New Year's vibe. And remember, like we're not just in an 8-year. 8 is connected to strength and is also connected to Leo, which is fixed fire. So we are in a fire year, right? So that is important to remember. It's fixed fire. It's not scattered fire. It's not cardinal fire. This is an even, steady fire that flows with us through the year. So the pace of what we're doing, of events in the world. Some of these might be really challenging, really difficult, very painful. Obviously, there are tremendously difficult, enraging, deeply unjust acts happening all over the world right now. Gaza, Sudan, so many different places. With that, it's not like there's anything new happening that I'm picking up on or I'm being privileged to, but inside of when heat rises, right, with that comes Pluto is now in Aquarius, revolution, really important shifts to like Pluto in Aquarius is all up. And really, it's been interesting in January. My dear friend Jeff, who does the Cosmic Cousins podcast, and I were just talking about this, that we both really reflected that January was when we moved into Pluto in Aquarius this past month. And we both really felt like this was a recentering so that we could pivot from Pluto in Capricorn to Pluto in Aquarius. And there's been a lot of like Pluto in Aquarius rules my sixth house. So like there's been like body things and health things that are like great. And also this sucks, you know, like whatever. So for many people, there's been just this sense of like reorienting ourselves, like getting kind of like screwed or circled into place. Like I'm just thinking about like, you know, putting like a doorknob on, basically, for lack of a better analogy. So now that we're kind of like in there a little bit, now that we've kind of been like locked into place in a good way, now things can sort of start heating up, which is going to be this year. This year is going to be a lot of heat, a lot of quick energy, a lot of movement, a lot of transition, a lot of change. And it does feel like February is kicking us off and starting to warm us up and quicken the pace a little bit. With the cards that I'm seeing, this is not like a jolt from 0 to 60. This is more exactly as it says, a warming. Like engines revving, or we're getting things warmed up. So the pace, whether things feel quote unquote like easeful or tumultuous or quote good or quote bad, things warm up so that they can potentially begin to boil over in really important ways. Things can be burned off at really high temperatures. Things can start, we're starting to ease from our chariot year, which was very watery on the cooler side, on the more liminal side, to a much more direct, quick, fire centered. Like Leo is all about seeing, it's all about being seen. It's all about beginning to see things, you know, that we have to see or face or whatever it might be. So yeah, things are warming up significantly this month. Also with that comes greater clarity. Also with that comes the continuation of moving out of the liminal and into the clear, which is also what this month is about. I got from spirit, like there's nothing to fear around this. We might experience more pressure in February, but sometimes that can be accompanied with really great things. And sometimes it's tricky, you know, and we just need to really be gentle with ourselves as we embark on that. So this month will really be about looking and like seeking out, coming home to the compass within ourselves so that we can wade through those waters and really kind of steer through those waters in ways that feel helpful and benevolent to us. And I also heard that part of this warming process has to do with a lot of stuff that's been wanted for, longed for, what we've been hoping for, we've been working for, is starting to actually make its way to us in a more tangible, practical way, which is a part, frankly, of what 8 years are about. So our card for the month ahead is the High Priestess. So when I got this card, High Priestess doesn't come with us in any, they can roll up in any party, any event, any situation, right? Because High Priestess, it's ruled by the moon. It can literally come with us into any event. It can be anything. It's the most changeable energy in the tarot and yet the most steady, because while the phases of the moon change all the time, the moon always remains steadfast, right? It's a fixed point in a very changeable universe, if that makes sense, sort of. Not quite, but hopefully you get the spirit. So the card for the month ahead speaks to what we can anchor into as we experience this warming and this quickening. And we'll all experience that a little differently. But the High Priestess has to do with the simplicity, the duality of the simplicity and the complexity of just having a space, a sacred space that we can come home to that feels like a refuge for us, a place for us to check in about how we're doing, where we're at, how we're feeling about something. And in order to have that, we have to have space and time. We don't have to have an abundance of it. We don't need to be on like silent retreat for a month. But we do need to give her and offer ourselves some space and time, right? We need the space to be able to feel into something. We need the time to be able to move through our own process with it. Much of our work with High Priestess is often just sitting in silence and watching as dust floats up and then settles, and the brain floats up and then settles, and just kind of watching as things get quieter and quieter. It's a muscle. And every time we return to our practice with High Priestess, it changes a little bit. It gets a little stronger. Even if we didn't necessarily tune in or receive anything on that particular day, we're always still building our muscles, always, as far as our intuitive practice goes. High Priestess is about intuitive reclamation. It's about intuitive homecoming. High Priestess was a huge card in the threshold, a big card for us in 2024, a big one. So it is important to know that a lot of what's going to be happening in 2024 is asking to be anchored in a solid practice that feels like a homecoming with self. And frankly, I nor spirit doesn't give a fuck about what that looks like. If that's running for you, bless. If that's church for you, bless. If it's singing for you, or if that's nothing for you, if it's literally just like sitting, or it's knitting, or whatever it might be, as long as it feels like you have a place to arrive that is safe, and it feels like you've come home to yourself, and there's been like space for you to come back to yourself. And I understand not everybody is in the season for that right now. But even if it's 5 minutes, like even if it's a moment, sometimes, especially really, you know, calling out to the parents out there, especially of young kids or the caretakers, it is very difficult to get that space and that quiet. It is hard. It's not an easy thing to do, especially in the early stages, especially if we're home with our kids. So sometimes it's about saying, wow, I really want to do this, and I'm willing to do this right now, and there's a longing to do this. This doesn't feel very accessible, but I'm staying open, and I'm available and ready to receive like some space and some quiet whenever, right? Whenever it feels good and right, I'm here. Sometimes it's just about acknowledging what we want. So as things warm, quicken, start to come to a sprightly boil in the coming months, which is, again, a good thing, right? We're cooking something. Something's in the process of transforming from like pasta, dried pasta, to cooked pasta, right? That's an important alchemical process, and that's what we're doing here. Our card for the month ahead isn't the descriptor of the experience. It's the anchor for the experience. High Priestess isn't going to be how the month feels, but it is what we can come home to. So a couple different ways to connect with High Priestess. Remember that High Priestess, because it is ruled by the moon, actually has to do not with some like maybe communally believed upon or assumed upon idea of what intuition or having a quiet moment with our practice looks like. It is running, right? It is recovery meetings. It is like whatever makes us feel like we're in the presence of something that's holding us as we embark on whatever it is that we're doing. Really doesn't matter the practice, as long as there is a concerted reach for something that helps us to feel like we're being held by that, and that we're coming home to a part of ourselves that's likely longing to be heard and acknowledged by us. So again, there's all kinds of different ways to it. And High Priestess also reminds us that everything is a season. Everything is a phase. So right now we might not be able to get to like the altar, but it may be a moment where we're swimming, or it might be a moment where we're running, or it might be a moment where we're in group a lot more than usual. And so even though group doesn't necessarily equate to space and time, and you know, there's still a homecoming that's possible there. So whatever this card feels like as an anchor to you right now, whatever practice and closeness with God or with spirit or with your inner wisdom looks or feels like right now, reach for it with all you fucking got. You know, it's there for you, and touching into it will be really important in this month and in the coming months. So it's definitely coming in really strong for us as a reminder, like this is going to be a place to rest our heads over the next year. How, I asked like, okay, so we're warming, we're quickening. How is this kind of going to feel for us? Like what's the experience of this year, of this month rather going to be? I pulled death And that made a lot of sense to me when I felt into it, because there's something about February that feels like as things are warming, there's also a falling away of the things that have already died. So I don't necessarily get like, you know, death, it's very interesting, right? Because death is such an intense energy. And yet death really is the freeing and the sparking off the card. Is the freeing and the sparking off of the new cycle that happens beyond the letting go process, right? So it's more about the new life happening with the fertilizer, with the compost that we've been creating from what has died, from what we've let go of. So it's not always so much the letting go and the dying process, which I think is really couched in Tethered One, personally. I think we do a lot of the work of the quote dying, of the letting go, in our Tethered One process, in our Hanged One process. Death is really about like, whoa, like, what do I want to plant next here? Like, what's happening on the other side of this process? So how the month will likely feel, I mean, this is a heavy duty card to get inside of the month of February. So this lets us know that there's some big shit happening inside of this warming, inside of this quickening. Not necessarily, death is not what I would consider to be one of the most jagged cards in the tarot, actually, with the medicine that jagged is helpful. It is. It will get the job done when you need it to. But I would not consider it to be a lightning bolt, like brittle, spiny, spiky energy. I wouldn't. I think it's more of a press than it is a poke or a spike, so to speak. But everyone's experience with this card is utterly valid in their own. So there's a sense of subtlety to this card that I think is helpful, you know, because it's not like, whoa, there's a tower here, you know, or there's a judgment here, which is, judgment is, I think, a little bit more of a press too. But I think that clearly we're going to be diving into some very deep themes, you know, as we embark on whatever this month is bringing us. But I think focusing on like, what is our process with ritual, with ceremony, with kind of a safe place to land as we embark on whatever it is might be showing up. But I think with the warming, with the quickening, what stands out for me most about this card in terms of how it's showing up as sort of an indication of how the process will feel, is like, there's so much that's already died. What are we actually building and what's blooming in its place? I think that is really going to be the question that we're going to be asking inside of our work with death, while also mourning the things that are getting cleared out, you know? The deepest lesson of our month ahead is Nine of Swords. So again, this lets me know that whatever we're doing, it's likely to feel very expansive, because Nine of Swords is often, Nine of Swords doesn't, by the way, I just have to say as a note, Nine of Swords has been coming up for every person that I've been reading for, every single one for the past week. It's definitely in the air collectively. So, yeah, it's definitely here for us in a bigger way. I think anytime that there is clearly a large process like this, you know, strength work, eight work, is about transformation that comes from facing the hard stuff. Like, it's not like easy breezy. You know, it's about being brave enough, being courageous enough to say, I will turn and face and befriend this lion. Whatever it might be, the lion might be something awesome that we've been trained and taught to like not trust or fear, you know, for fear of like our hopes getting dashed, and more on that in a moment. And sometimes it's about acknowledging like, I do need help, or, you know, I can't do this, or like, okay, this isn't going to work, or wow, this might work, you know, geez, like, yeah, I might want to do that. So it's a lot of big confrontation and a lot of big consideration and a lot of like staying with something, keeping the heart open. Leo rules the heart enough to be transformed by what it is that we see. I think much of that can be found in Nine of Swords. Nine of Swords doesn't promise fear. It doesn't like raise up a flag and say, ooh, like, oh no, like there's going to be this or that. None of the cards do that. I'm afraid all the time. I imagine you're the same. First, I'm a parent, so there's constant worry. Then it's like, I'm a citizen of this world. Like, I'm worried about everything. So it's like, worried about my child's future. I'm worried about people all over the world. You know, worried about my own health and well-being. Like, there's always fear present, you know? Maybe not in every lived moment, but fear's there. It's not like we're divorced from it. Nine of Swords comes up when there are big what-if fears, like little kid fears. Not minimizing that, by the way. But fears that feel like we don't know how to help them necessarily. We may not know like the right thing to say. We might feel like, yeah, God, what if that happens? Like, fuck, you know? And Nine of Swords is when we call upon our external and internal resources to say, okay, first of all, I'm going to say the scary thing out loud. Like, first of all, I'm going to share this what if with the room. And I'm basically going to be like, okay, my brain's inviting me into this. This is my worry. This is my concern. I'm going to take it to a person that I feel like can really hold it with consent, whatever, or to a part of myself that feels like it can hold it. And then what do we do with that person or with ourselves? We sort of turn on that magical flashlight and go, okay, let's like really get in there. Let's take a look. Because if there's something going on, like let's take care of it. Let's get a sense of it. Let's see. I was just sharing with a client of mine that I was really taken actually by a Reddit thread that I read of all things on a parenting board that had to do with somebody talking about, my kid is afraid to sleep in their room at night. What do I do? And this child was 4 years old. And I loved the responses because a lot of the parents, one of them said, the one that sticks out to me most said, I experienced this too. Child was inconsolable, didn't want to sleep in their room. Finally, I went in there in the dark and realized that the trees outside of their room were casting these really intense kind of spooky looking shadows on their wall. And they said, and there was traffic noise, like there was street noise coming up into their window that they could hear. They said, got a white noise machine, got better blinds, no problem. And I thought, well, first of all, that's amazing that child was helped in that way and that they could pivot and figure out what was going on. But also, it took that parent going in and sitting in the dark to figure out what was going on. So that is ultimately, basically, the crux of the work with Nine of Swords. Some part of us comes to us and says, I'm afraid to be in my room at night. And we go in there as they're experiencing it. And we say, okay, like, what is there something on the wall? Is there something weird going on? Like, what's going on here? And we figure, we come up with a plan. And sometimes we need to do that with other people or with a professional processor. But that's the crux of it. And the deepest lesson of the month, I think, inside of that is knowing we can ask for help if we get stuck. We don't have to do this all on our own, right? That's one of the biggest parts of brain work, of like working with the mind and the swords is like, for most of us, the tendency to isolate and to believe like, oh my God, if anyone knew what I was thinking or whatever, what we tend to hold close to the vest tends to really fester. We tend to stay really isolated. We can believe like, oh, no one will understand. There's a lot of people who will understand most likely what we're going through. It's just about finding the right people. So then we get to bring it out and really be seen in it, in that, inside of that, maybe not immediately, but inside of finding the right people, inside of finding the right resource or practice, there can be tremendous healing, tremendous change. So that's the lesson, to allow ourselves to be seen, which is big Leo strength, 8 work, big. What's asking for our attention most this month is 9 of Cups. So I don't see Nine of Cups too often. And when I do see it, I pay attention. I always pay attention. But when this card comes up, it's a special indication for me to pay attention because it lets me know that, first of all, two nines in this reading feel important. Nines are a really very deep internal work, like important visits to self to answer a call that needs to be answered in some way, shape, or form. Nine of Cups is often like we're gestating something very big, very exciting, super tender, most likely. It's like we're keeping eggs warm or we're pregnant with something. It's like very vulnerable, usually. Even if we're excited, we want to share it. It's like there's a sense of, oh boy, you know, like this is a big deal to like get my hopes up about. Like, because, and I would say in terms of the tarot, like Nine of Cups is one of the tallest orders in the tarot. It basically invites us to be brave enough to get our hopes up. It reminds us it's safe to get our hopes up. And that's an incredibly frightening prospect, especially for all of us, by the way, but especially for those of us who've gone through like real loss and just real devastation in terms of hopes being dashed or shattered. That's asking for our attention. Like the lesson is opening to help around and to witnessing around the things that we're afraid of. What wants our attention are these tender parts of us, like things that we've been waiting for, longing for, that like we've been like, okay, maybe this won't ever happen, are starting to, again, like warm up. Like things are starting to quicken up a little bit. And even though there's been a lot that's happened, especially over the last 4+ years, I know for myself and for many people I know, it's felt a little bit like a freeze. Like time has been a bit frozen. This year feels finally like movement, like change, like something flowing in a direction that we can identify as being one that we're familiar with. And I think that's scary to trust and to believe. So it makes complete sense that Nine of Cups would be here for us. I think continuing to remind ourselves like this is safe. We can trust this. Even if it changes, it's still safe. It's okay. Like you're okay. Just staying really close to self, I think, is really important. What's being cleared out is Seven of Cups. Thank God, you know, frankly. Sevens are all about like doing internal work. Like they're the opposite of eight, where there's really not much externally that happens in a seven energy. It's mostly about like being with self and trusting that process and blah, 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 you know, and coming home to that and being like, okay, you know, I will continue to do this internal work, even though I, you know, but Seven of Cups is like waiting to find the right thing to do. It's like we want to move, we want to take an action, but there's no clear action to take. So we have to sort of be with that impulse and know that we can't really act on it right now because we're really called to be open to something better dropping in, which is hard. You know, it takes a lot of discipline and courage and willingness to move through that. So the fact that we're letting that go lets us know that we're letting go of a time of liminality, of no clear next step, and of waiting. And what we're moving closer to, what's cycling in, is Knight of Wands, which is so exciting. So knights are all about movement. Knights are all about, like, they're the opposite, again, of sevens and of our chariot year. Knights are like, I will go. Let me know how you want to do it. You know, Knight of Wands is about moving and existing and embodying a self that feels really good to be in. It's about like, and you know, it's not about like the whole thing. Like so many of us might be, you know, in a body that doesn't feel like it's, you know, the body that feels exactly right for one reason or another. Might feel like we're waiting for certain things. It might feel like we're, most of us, you know, may have that experience. So it's not necessarily about, oh, abandoning all of those feelings and just being happy with whatever. It has more to do with in whatever way we feel like we can control, that we have access to, that can happen today, like within reach, basically, that's accessible to us. It's about opening to moving and flowing through our day, through our life in a way that feels as good and as authentically us as we can manage, right? Like, Knight of Swords is about like, whoa, how do you take care of your body when things are moving very fast? Knight of Pentacles is very much about like, how can we prepare? How can we like trust that the vehicle is not moving right now, but we're preparing for a journey that's to come? Knight of Cups is like, how can we move through choppy water, through change, through unexpected stuff? Knight of Wands is like, how can you take up space with your beauty, trusting that you have every right to be here in your full embodiment? Like, how can your walk or your jog or your cycle through the walking path near your house be even more fabulous? Is there better music? Like, how can there be, like, is there a prettier route you can take to work? Is there a scent you love? Is there, like, who knows, right? That's all of that is like Knight of Wands. It's fire energy. So it's like, even stuff potentially for some folks as simplistic as like, are you ready to change your hair? You know, like, is there some sort of like wardrobe shift that you want to make? Like, it really is like, I feel like I just did a huge chop to my hair. I've had really long hair for a while. It looks great, frankly, and it feels really good to have shorter hair. I actually wish I'd gone just a little bit shorter, but it's okay. But I say all that because that's very Knight of Wands. Is very like, I'm going to chop my hair. I'm going to dye my hair. I'm going to like it. It is about embodiment, you know, and it is about that sense of feeling really good and at home in the body that we have to the best of our ability. And in whatever way we feel like we have access to, knowing that might not be the whole experience, but it can be a little bit more, maybe 10% more kind of feelings of embodiment and joy and pleasure in the way that we move through things. And if we were to take all that away, another way we can apply Knight of Wands to our work might be like, if you're an entrepreneur, like maybe it's an important time, you have some control over your schedule at work, or even if you don't, you have some control over your schedule at work. It might be about reflecting, like, I would really love for like these two things to shift about my workflow. And that would help me have more time for this practice or for that act of care, this time with my kids. Sometimes it's actually quite literally about looking at like what are the flow of our days and how can it be a little bit more expansive or gentle or exciting, like depending on what's going on. So huge difference, concrete difference between Seven of Cups, which is no movement really at all, and Knight of Wands, which is, I would say, definitely a warm movement, not a hot movement. And definitely an energy that can take us into this warming, into things getting a little bit hotter and quicker, and feels good. So I'll be very excited to reflect on like what comes to light this month, what opens, what closes. I think in general, opening to this more warming energy, especially as we find ourselves in midwinter opening to spring here in the Northern Hemisphere, is beautiful and a lovely way to be of, you know, a lovely way to be connected to these energies seasonally in terms of the weather. So that's what I have for you. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being here. I love all of you. I'll be back in about 2 weeks for our mid-month podcast episode. And until we connect again, please take really sweet care of yourselves. This podcast was edited by Chase Voorhees. podcast art by Rochelle Sartini Gardner, and this episode was transcribed by one of our absolutely brilliant and beautiful transcriptionists, all of which you can learn more about or read about on our website, tarotforthewildsoul.com. If you wish to dive into more of my work, learn more about Soul Tarot, work with me in any kind of capacity, I'm always creating new things for us to do together, but you can find out all about our self-led courses and classes and new offerings on tarotforthewildsoul.com. And if you want to be the first to know about any new offerings, any new projects that I'm doing, if you want to benefit from discounts and early birds and all kinds of lovely newsletter-only offerings, you can sign up for the newsletter at the link in our show notes. And finally, if you have a question for me to answer at the podcast, or if you'd like to work with me live on the podcast, or if you'd like your question answered on the podcast, please click the link to Ask Lindsay and send me your cues. Thank you so much for being here.